from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. If he was pitching a GOT TV show to tweens, it would be Oso Three-Eyed Raven, or Three-Eyed Raven Oso Raven. I think it would be that, Three-Eyed Raven Oso Raven, just because I love to say that. And I guess we would be, from there, it would write itself. Young Brandon Stark, Brandon Stark sounds like we need Raven. Yeah, how about this? Raven Simone is the mentor for Brandon Stark. Start from there. Yeah, and well, I don't know. We'll figure out. Actually, we won't figure. You know what time? You know why it's so confusing what I'm saying? Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention for the next few minutes, and then when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, because these are the ways we keep the show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Hey, just wondering if you were interested in a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint or something else to start building your investment portfolio. Well, our newest sponsor that you're going to be hearing about in the middle of the show, Robinhood, is doing just that. And you can get started at sleep.robinhood.com. Robinhood's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free. So get over there. It's free. sleep.robinhood.com. Mystery Bard, who helps out on this show? I'm always curious, because can you sing it to me, please?
Chris Posty Posterson sounds like a near fall, wrote the theme song, and edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer, runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies. Got a new album out. I think you're. You can get a copy at JonathanMann.net. Also, I made a longer version of this credits song. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want. Sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's the best place to get me. And I want to thank everybody who's always spreading the word about the show. Just sharing your natural experience with the podcast helps the podcast grow. Thank you so much. And let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, changes in routine, you know, whatever it is that's keeping you up, you know, like, so stuff you're thinking about, anything you're experiencing physically or that's coming up for you emotionally. Those are three of the zones, but it could be, you know, it could be some of the travel, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. What I'm going to do is I get this nice safe place here set aside, reserved, and it's one of the first, you are a VIP, and that means you, where you say, hey, come on in, this safe place is welcoming, opening, it's not exclusive, but it has a feeling. You know, believe it or not, we do have, I don't know if you're familiar with the Muppets, but you might not believe this because it's probably not exactly true, but it's imaginarily true. Is you know, the Muppets, they had a Muppet show, so that was like a regular gig. And then the Muppets, I got to get back to the intro, but then the Muppets had, now they're in movies, right, from time to time. And not every Muppet is like, you know, Kermit, Miss Pig, you know, the big draws. You know, there's Muppets that are on the lower on the marquee or the posters, right? And those Muppets may or may not take side jobs or freelance gigs. And I'm just saying, if any Muppets did, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker would probably be running a Sleep With Me Labs somewhere. And they would be the ones working on that. What did I say? Exclusive, where it feels exclusive. You say, well, I've never, here's the things with me. I've never been on a cruise, never been to Sandals or Club Med or the one with all the romance where everybody's, you know, where the couple looks like they're, I don't know, is that Sandals or was that in the 80s? I know I've seen an ad where this couple looks like they say, well, that looks exclusive. You know, or club level. I haven't stayed at club. I don't spend a lot of time on club levels or private clubs, but or clubs in general. What was my point? Oh, so but when you think about those things, you think about, ooh, it feels exclusive. That's what this safe place feels like. You're important because your sleep's important, and it's important to me. Also, it's important to me to go off topic early. So I'm going to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings. Oh, I said that physical. Oh, what I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night, get mixed up, go off topic. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, you know, other stuff, stuffing. A lot of stuffing, filler, fluff, all that stuff. You say, I wonder if a Muppet has ever written like one of, like an ode to my stuffing. Who would do the odes? I'm sure there actually maybe Sam the Eagle, but that would be a little bit more of a patriotic ode. I mean Fozzie would do a joke ode. Maybe Gonzo possibly. Miss Piggy would do one probably, but that would go so. Oh, anyway. Oh, who are the Muppets? Oh boy, you missed out. But never too late to discover them. In fact, I think the Mystery Bard watches the Muppet Show and has encouraged me to rewatch the Muppet Show with my daughter. And I take that advice. I'm taking that advice to heart. Okay, but where was I? I'm going to send lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. If you're new, sorry, yeah, welcome. Sorry about that. I've gone off. I've had a rainbow connection recently with the Muppets or something. Hardy, har, har. Okay, if you're new, though, welcome. I'm glad you're here. This podcast is a bit different, so I want to set up a couple things for you. One, I'm glad you're here. Your sleep or taking your mind off stuff, keeping you company, that's important to me. So I'm going to be here just to take your mind off stuff. So here's the thing. No pressure to listen to me. You can fall asleep whenever you want. You could listen however you want. Some listeners will listen close. Some listeners listen kind of amused or bemused. Some listeners imagine me like with a Muppet on. I don't know if anyone's ever imagined me sitting with a Muppet on my knee. You say, Muppet on your knee, $1,000 fee. And it's a great way to, I said, well, that's just how my brain works. It goes from one thing to another. That was water on the knee. Thank you. But here's the thing. You don't need to listen to me. Okay, that's one thing if you're new. Second thing is there's no pressure to fall asleep. These shows are an hour plus because I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. I'm more here as your companion, walking at your side, providing you with some friendly banter and distraction as you drift off. Because I really truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep, but I feel like there's too much pressure around that, right? You deserve it. And I just want to ease you into it. So no need to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. And structurally what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep a podcast free and coming to everybody. Then we have an intro. The intro is kind of like a bedtime wind down. It's like a 12-minute show within a show where I slowly guide you towards bedtime. Like some listeners listen to the intro while they get ready for bed. Some listeners listen to the intro while they're in bed, drifting off. Some listeners fall asleep to the intro. A few percentage of listeners skip the intro. And a lot of people, or more and more people, listen during the day. I guess particularly to the intros, but sometimes to the stories too, for a little break during the day too. But the intro is where I try to explain what the podcast is to the new listener every time. And this is where it is a bit like a Muppet show or a Muppet movie, or just like the word Muppet. If you didn't like, you say, I don't know what a Muppet is, but I know what that word sounds like. And you'd say, Scoops, it sounds like when you're trying to explain what the podcast is for the 775th time. And you try. So it's like the up it part, but you never get there, which is like the part. And I say, exactly. It's actually part of my method, actually. That's why it's a real, totally intentional that I say, one day I'm going to find the perfect metaphor for a podcast. It turns out that whatever this Muppet-based metaphor isn't the perfect one, especially since I don't even remember what my original point about the Muppets was. It was something, because I have Bunsen, Honeydew, and Beaker. I'm imagining if they worked for me on the side, they would be designing new meanders for me. Creaky dulcet tones, making a safe, comfortable place. Of course, then you'd say, well, Scoots, I've watched those Muppet movies. What about all the unintended consequences? And I'd say, well, doesn't that usually just happen to Beaker? Here's another totally unrelated thing, but in some sense connected. And I don't know if there was an app a while back, Super Better. I'm not sure if that's out there. It was trying to teach people resiliency and the importance of resiliency. And that's considered the important part of integrated with self-care and mindfulness and flourishing is resiliency, right? Here's the thing. This is a free idea that you will, a trial offer. If you use it, please give me the giant corporation that owns the rights, full equal financial stakes. But how come Beaker's not used in every resiliency metaphor? Or you'd say, is there a resiliency institute? Well, one, does Bunsen Honeydew run it? Probably. But if there was like the resiliency, like a model of resiliency, like you got the modern major general, that one, you'd say, what's a model? And you say, well, there's Beaker's in a puppet scooter. And I'd say representative model of resiliency, the Beaker story. How about that? Beaker, a model of resiliency. Okay, maybe, possibly, right? So Beaker's a character in the Muppets that was like the foil to Dr. Bunsen Honeydew's grand plans to help the human condition through science, mostly through, actually through mechanics and science usually. Okay, so, and I'm here to just help you with meanders. So, oh, structure with respect. So the intro goes on and on and on. Eventually it peters out, not that long from now. Then, believe it or not, we'll go from talking about Muppets to me trying to remember all the plot lines. In 45 minutes, I'll try to remember everything that happened on Game of Thrones and all the seasons. And that should be pretty sleepy because my recall is not excellent. But really, this podcast, and then so there's the intro, some business, then the story or Game of Thrones discussion. Be very vanilla, don't worry. And then some thank yous at the end. If you want to skip the ads, you just become a patron. It's podcast.com/patron. What else? I think that's it, a structure of the show. I thought there was something else I was going to remember that was Muppet related. Yeah, but I don't know. So yeah, podcast is here to keep you company and to take your mind off stuff. And oh, because I really do believe, I want you to be resilient. I want you to be rested and be able to go out there tomorrow and flourish, to be in a place where, you know, as you're drifting off or as you're getting ready to bed, you can say, you know, it's not easy being you, but you do deserve a nice resting, safe place, a nice place to relax into, and a nice night of solitude or whatever you call it. I'm sorry, like, I've got, my vocabulary is limited because they said, maybe part of me is like, we got to get a hold of the big resiliency council to get up and tell them about Beaker. But the thing is, as I said, I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I believe you deserve a life where you can get out there and flourish, where you feel treated with dignity and respect, and you can do the same and you know, create, water some flowers out there in the world, you know? And so I hope I can help. And I really appreciate you coming by and checking out the show. It is a bit different, so give it a few tries. Almost every regular listener says it took a few tries till it worked. But I really appreciate it that you came by. You're earning a nice drive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. You know I got an Air Doctor. It is running in the other room right now, and especially in the winter. Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And, you know, that comes with a lot of consequences for your health. So what's the solution? Well, an Air Doctor is the solution. It's captured the attention of CNN, Money, ABC, and more. That's the Air Doctor air purifier. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. You got to get yourself an Air Doctor. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code SLEEP. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. This is exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to AirDoctorPro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com, and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. All right, hey, everybody. This is Scoots, and this is going to be an interesting tale of the tape. I'm going to have to really, I don't know, it'd be interesting. So this is a Game of Thrones tale of the tape, because I haven't prepped for the new season by rewatching anything. And because it's the close of the season, I was wondering if I could do in like a 50-minute span, like go through all the seasons of what I remember, like, and see what comes out of that, because that should be pretty sleepy, based on my memory alone, unless I get really, like, so right now I haven't looked anything up, but at some point I could pause it and say, first off, how many seasons have there been? I'm guessing 6 so far, but it could be 7 or it could be 5. So what we'll do is we'll go through and kind of look at, we'll just kind of go through things and meander. It'll be a meandering recall of what happened in over the history of the show. And I guess it gives me about 8 minutes a season, depending on how many seasons there are, though it could be between seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh boy. So season one was, of course, a couple more things, I guess. So one is, like, one of the nice things about Game of Thrones is that despite all the complexities of everything and the pomp and circumstance and the drama and the action, it really is just these human stories. And a lot of it is like a family, and even the little kids that live inside us based, at least in my opinion. And that it is a show about family dynamics, which is actually how the first season starts off. So I guess that is a good transition, because it does start off, I believe, first off with the dynamics of two different families. So episode one, we meet the Starks. Three different families. And I guess the greater political families. But so, yeah, so season one starts off, we meet the Starks. And again, I don't know, I know how the kind of the beginning and towards the end of the show, I don't really know of the season. But so it starts off, we meet the Starks, and we meet, what's his name? Papa Stark. If you're a stickler for Game of Thrones, you're going to be in for it, and, you know, eventually I remember it. We meet, actually, even in the teaser, we meet Benjen, I think, which doesn't pay off again until recently. And I remember reading that in the book. We see Benjen, then the show opens, then we meet the Stark family, maybe. And Ned Stark, actually, thank you. Thank goodness I remembered that. Catelyn and Ned, oh boy. The Stark family, they live in the north, Winterfell. Ned lives by code, we learn that. We learn he's a kind father. We learn that there's a family dynamics. We learn that John is a half son, or whatever you call it. Is like, I mean, they have other words for it, but he's a Snow. And we see the dynamics between who do we got in there? We got little Ricky, Rickard, the three-eyed raven, Bran, who, you know, one day, but, you know, Arya, Sansa, the dude that was king, I forget his name, I want to call him Richard. Maybe he played King Richard at some point. I'll eventually remember his name. Jon Snow and old Leonard, the Forgotten Stark. That was like that you say. Wasn't there one more Stark son? Yeah, Leonard. Everybody forgets about Leonard. Rickard, it was cute, the cute one. You know, Bran was the one where he said, there's something more to Bran than I know. So those were the Stark kids. I believe, and the kid, he was king in the north. That's season two. So we've learned the family dynamics. They get their puppies, and we see Caitlin and Ned. There's something strained there. Maybe we get some hints back to the past. I don't know. So we meet the Starks eventually. Also, in the beginning of the season, I don't know about the episodes, but. Then we meet at the, what is their last name? Baratheons. Robert, we find out Robert Baratheon's king. He's coming to see Ned to make Ned his hand. We find out his hand has gone to the big farm. We meet Cersei. We meet, I don't know if we meet Tommen's sister. That's a good question. Great question. I don't know. Jaime Lannister. And Joffrey, we definitely meet Joffrey, and we start to get a sense of their dynamics early in the season. We get Cersei's and Robert's dynamics, and that Robert's a bit of not good at governing, good at winning governance, but not good at governing. We get backstory about the three tridents or whatever the heck it was, and. We learn about Cersei and Jaime, then Bran, you know, takes a spill. We start to learn these other characters, the Hound, Ilyn Payne. So we just get some dynamics. We get the Joffs, not that great. So we start to see that sort of strain, and then they head towards, some of them head towards King's Landing. With King Robert. Now, meanwhile, at some point we meet the Khaleesi, the future Khaleesi, who's like we start to learn that she's one of the Targaryens, or we meet her brother, who's briefly like cuts a jib like Cillian Murphy a little bit, and he's not likable either. Also, we meet other characters like all the other characters, like our good friend Varys. We meet Tyrion. You know, we start to get to know the other Lannisters. Wow, this is more complicated than I thought. So we meet Khaleesi and her brother, the Targaryens. Believe me, I don't know if I'll remember any of that. Then we meet, their sponsor, some rich dude whose name definitely I don't have any idea. I probably will remember it at some point. And that, you know, that Khaleesi's brother has grand plans of becoming returning as a triumphant Targaryen. And then we meet Khal Drogo. I'll just run through Khaleesi season, I guess. And we're here. Then Khal Drogo and Khaleesi marry with her brother's intention of using that to like kind of unify and to get to Khal Drogo's armies. But he doesn't appreciate how like he likes Khaleesi, but not her brother. So he says, you know, you're out. She's a leader. You're not. She's kind. You're not. And I don't know if it was again, like, I guess the Khaleesi story, let's just say that it was season one, because I don't know if she becomes a leader in season one or season two, to be honest with you. Again, maybe I could just follow the Khaleesi's journey right now and then go back to the Starks and, when I get mixed up. So then the Khaleesi and Khal Drogo, they start to get to know each other. They end up, they like each other. Like he's a horse lord, or the lord of all the horses. And we do learn that she still shares this ambition of saying, well, maybe we do need to go across the sea and take back my kingdom that's rightfully mine. We also learn that not everybody, like, there's challengers to the Khal Drogo's throne. And at some point, like, something happens, and then everything's kind of thrown into disarray because he goes to visit the big farm. Khaleesi tries out some other options to keep him from the big farm. Then we learn that she's a mother of dragons. I don't know if that's, like, she goes and she's like the phoenix with the two baby dragons. And that kind of seems to solidify her leadership for the most part. There's still, because Khal Drogo only has his portion of his people. So at some point in this, we also meet Ser Jorah. And then eventually, as things move on, we meet whoever that smooth dude is, Dario Naharis or whatever. So yeah, then the Khaleesi over those first couple seasons, she's not the Khaleesi yet. So I guess at some point she does become a Khaleesi. We get to know Ser Jorah, who's in, you know, seriously imperfect, Dario Naharis or whatever his name is. And then we see the Khaleesi start, I don't know exactly the order of things, because she has to deal with the rest of the horse lords. That might be in the Lord of the Rings, though, but she does, where she says, hey, like, I'm your leader. And they say, well, we don't know. And she says, no, as a matter of fact, I am. And she pulls a smooth switcheroo on them. But I think earlier on, I wonder what the order is where she starts freeing. I guess it would have been before, but I'm picturing the newer Dario Naharis dealing with Ser Jorah, like with the horse lords. But I don't know. She goes to meet with all the horse lords. They say, you're not the boss of us. She says, as a matter of fact, I am Misa, mother of all people. And then she solidifies her leadership there. Let's just say that's what happened. Then the Khaleesi moves on to start freeing people under the rule of not working by choice. First, she meets the great, you know, the interpreter, and then she starts the Unsullied. Then she starts freeing people and dealing with the people that wouldn't keep them free. And they don't like that change. So that's a couple of seasons of her going through these, like, ups and downs of, like, it gets into that difference in Robert trying to lead and trying to take over things. And at some point over that time, Ser Jorah gets fired. The Khaleesi really, like, even though she has some ups and downs, she really solidifies her leadership eventually, both by heart and by thorn, or whatever you want to say. She has to do, you know, keep both in balance. And she also picks up some new, she has Dario Naharis, who, you know, gets it. They say, well, you look different. He says, yeah, well, I'm more handsome now. And I say, well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you are. You're less crafty, more handsome. Tyrion comes to work with her. Varys becomes a part of her crew. I guess, yeah, at some point Varys joins up. I wonder, like, And so those are all delightful parts of seasons, and building towards this idea that eventually she's going to go back and take things over. Like, so yeah, we won't have time to follow Tyrion or Varys' story anyway, I don't think, but they get these new starts with the Khaleesi, and eventually, at the beginning of the previous season, or the end of the season before, she says, let's get some ships. I forgot how she got the ships, but she says, let's get some ships, let's go across the sea, and let's start taking things over, especially she hears about how the leadership's going over there. So she takes over, they go across the sea, and then last season, or over the past two seasons, I don't know which one's which, she deals with the current leadership, which we'll get to in wherever that place is called, Westeros, and she has her ups and downs, you know, learning, like, you know, learning to deal with that stuff. Eventually breaks out her dear dragons, and she's dealing with that stuff. But then also she gets called to the north because they say, well, there's a bigger thing to deal with, other than just, like, that's kind of how the last season closes. It's like, are you going to deal with the humans, or are you going to deal with this other stuff in the north? And eventually, as the season closes, she goes to the north. Her and Jon Snow, as we know, kind of solidify their pact. You say, wait a second, are you two, you know, whatever. We also see a dragon go to the big farm in the sky. I think that was as the season closed. So we see that, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. So I guess that's the Khaleesi's, a little bit of the Khaleesi story. And what is her name, though? Khaleesi, Daenerys Targaryen. So excuse me. Yeah, so, but I just call her Khaleesi because that's how, you know, I would like to keep it professional. Okay, so let's go back to the Starks, because they had quite the journey, and it'll probably overlap a lot with, who are those other people, Baratheons, or, what's the father's name, what's their family name, the dude, Charles Dance, that's his, the actor's name, Lannisters. Okay, so season one, they all go, Robert and Ned, in most of the families, but not the entire families, go back to King's Landing. That's like their Washington, D.C. And Ned's supposed to be working with Robert. Meanwhile, we know there's all these machinations going on. Game of Thrones, you win or you go to the big farm. And we see that Cersei's kind of has other things in mind. Robert's not the best partner anyway, or leader. Also, Robert goes to Big Farm, and then Ned says, oh boy, this isn't going to be good for me, because Ned's like, I live by a code, you know, truth before all things. So he's trying to figure out what the Game of Thrones is, but by the time he figures it out, next thing you know, Baelor, he's in the Big Farm, faster than you can say Baelor. Now, if my memory serves, who Sansa and Arya went with Ned, and we learned during that trip that Joffrey's J-U-R-K, but that Sansa kind of was, at least initially, kind of had this romantic notion about being kings and queens and stuff, as kids do. And so then at the end of that season, we learned Sansa's going to stay with the Lannisters. And Arya hits the road. She actually heads. She's heading to join the Night's Watch, and she also makes a friend who she helps. But I think that's in the second season. So season one closes. Jon Snow's gone to join the Night's Watch in the North at some point too in season one. So I think here's what you got. Like, you got Jon Snow headed to the King's Watch, Night's Watch, you're correct. Catelyn, Rickon, Bran, and the oldest brother, whose name, of course, I can't remember, in King's Land, or in Winterfell, maybe. I guess he's like the head of Winter, like him and his mom are kind of running things. Actually, at some point, the mom, I think she went and then she bailed, maybe right before, and she headed back to where she grew up with Tyrion. Yeah, she took Tyrion with her. Or no, they accidentally just ran into each other at an inn. I think that's season two. So at the end of season one, Arya's like with a crew of people going to the Night's Watch. Jon's at the Night's Watch getting trained. Bran and Rickon are at home. Catelyn's traveling. Ned's in the big farm. And Sansa's with the Lannisters. And so then season two, I wish I could remember that guy's name, the oldest Stark. I almost had it. It's not Robert Stark, though. King whatever. The King in the North, they call him, for a little while. So they start up So he says, I'm going to lead my people in the north against the Lannisters because they, you know, usurped things or whatever. Meanwhile, Catelyn's going back to her hometown to try to get her sister to join her son. And Tyrion has to deal with all that. Arya's having her own adventures with initially all these kids joining. Then they join this, like, whatever it's called. I forget. Brotherhood Without Banners. But that's not until... that's like, I think the Brotherhood Without Banners was originally Ned Stark's crew. He sent them out to deal with maybe the Mountain and the Hound or something. I don't know. But I think, like... season two is like the War of the Three Kings or something it's called. So, like, basically Robert's brother, Stannis Baratheon, and his, like, there's like a lot of other interesting stuff I'm realizing. Is this when we have Loras, right? Is he a Baratheon? He can't be a Baratheon. But whatever, we learn, he's from Highgarden, right? What's their names? Totally forgot about them. Yeah, but so season two is like Stannis Baratheon wants his brothers. He says, I'm the king because I was like the Baratheon before, you know, I'm older than my brother or something. I also think there's a third Baratheon. Yeah, there is. Oh, for a little while. Yeah, that's right. He's in a relationship with Loras. And I forget his name, though. And he was actually seemed like he was going to be a good king. And he doesn't, like, so, and then Ned's son is, like, busy taking over the north. Two Baratheons are trying to become king or saying they're king. And, I guess they make Joffrey king. Joffrey does become king or leader at some point. Though Cersei's queen regent on and off most of the time. And kind of calling the shots. At first it's Charles Dance, who's, what's his name? Lannister, Big Boss Lannister. So, anyway, they have to deal with the oldest Stark, whatever his friggin' name is. And I don't know if this is season two or season three. Maybe it spans two seasons, all this stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I think so. So, like, it looks like they're winning. Then they're not winning. Eventually, Catelyn makes it back to join her son. Jon Snow's like learning the ropes up at Winterfell or wherever that's called, the Wall, Ice Reach or whatever the heck, all those places up there. Sansa's trying to make the best of what she can, which includes different, thinking she's going to marry one person, you're getting told what to do. Then another person, then initially like she's going to marry Joffrey, getting told to get her brother in line. Meanwhile, Arya, she has an adventure and she learns from this other dude about, she gets stuck dealing with Charles Dance for a little while at wherever the mountain's house was. And we kind of see that she's against him. Then she says, at the end of season three, I think, maybe it's season two, she's met this cool dude. I forgot his name, too. Again, I'm just winging this, and again, this is why I make a sleep podcast. My brain doesn't exactly record things in order or in a sensible way. But so she heads to Braavos eventually because she had originally learned fencing from a Braavos. Then she meets this mysterious dude who's one of the faceless people. And because he owes her, he gives her a coin to go there. So, yeah, I don't know. So then, but at the same time, when that closes out, or as that's about to close out, we also find out that, I think this is the end of season three, Catelyn. What's the king's name? King, my brother Stark. I don't know. Whatever the oldest Stark was with the beard. He's a handsome guy, but he had made some political decisions that weren't so great. And so eventually they need this one bridge that this one old troll runs. And instead of sharing the bridge and his people with them, he sends Caitlin and the king in the north, we'll say, and also his new bride. They all go to the big farm. This is actually, I think Arya finds out about this, and then I guess she's with the Hound. At some point, she hooks up with the Hound, and then she says, forget this whole thing. And then maybe this is 3 and 4, because then also at the same time, I guess it's a little bit more stretched out. So that's kind of Arya's journey a little bit. Then Sansa, she was stuck in the north. So basically in the King's Landing, you get Cersei and Joffrey trying to run things with their advisors and their dad. And then they're also not that nice to Sansa. Sansa's supposed to get married to Joffrey. Then she's supposed to get married to Loras. Then Joffrey is supposed to marry... Who does he marry? Like, because his wedding is like this big deal. Oh, he's marrying Loras' sister, I believe. Yeah. Again, another character's name escapes me. And also at the same time, Jon Snow goes into the North and meets the Northern people who were said they weren't that great. And it turns out they are. So then whatever, they're defending King's Landing. They send one of the Baratheons to Big Farm using some undercover method. I think Stannis does that. Then Stannis tries to take King's Landing. He fails. And then, this is definitely sleepy stuff. So then Joffrey goes to marry, one of the people from Highgarden. They're not Targaryens. Loras and... these are good questions. So then Joffrey visits Big Farm. We actually get to spend some cool time with the people from Sunspear, because everybody's saying... At some point, Tyrion gets in trouble for one thing, and I think he's like, in trouble for another thing. Eventually Tyrion gets out of trouble, because of the dude from Sunspear, who's one of the coolest, but I don't know his character's name. I know the actor's name, but that's Tyrion. We kind of follow Tyrion's journey. So Joff goes to the big farm. Cersei's not happy about it. She doesn't even know who's behind it. Then she tries to say, she puts Tommen in charge. While all that's happening, Sansa gets out of there at some point, and then she ends up, she crosses paths with Brienne of Tarth, who had promised her mother she would look after her daughters and bring them to her aunts, I believe. Yeah. So Brienne of Tarth eventually brings Sansa to her aunts. Her aunts, not that great. But that's where Sansa meets Baelish. Also, that's where Arya the Hound and Brienne of Tarth all cross paths. I think this was before Arya broke out. This must have been afterwards, where Arya heads to Braavos. Speaking of Arya, so she goes to Braavos. I think this is probably season 4 and season 5, and she studies at the House of Black and White to become a faceless person. And she's kind of torn as she's learning between becoming expert at this stuff and losing all semblance of her individuality, because they're kind of like a collective being type group. And there's a lot of mythology there, but eventually Arya figures out, this isn't for me. Or is it? I guess I still didn't understand that. But she learns a lot of the skills, but I don't think she's 100% down to just to have her identity. She still identifies as Stark. So then a cool thing in like season five or season six, Arya goes back to that, the bridge and the troll, deals with the troll at the bridge on behalf of her brother and her mom, and then eventually makes her way back to Winterfell. Now Sansa, oh boy, Sansa have, so she had to go from Joffrey to thinking like she hung out with Loras, but then somehow they got her out of, they got her out because Cersei was kind of keeping her as like, well, I kind of have you as a bargaining chip. So eventually she got out. Then she had to deal with her aunt, I think. No. Is that first or second? I guess that's, when was that? That's a good question. I'm a little mixed up, but at some point she deals with her aunt. She deals with Baelish. I think before that, she, so what happened to her when she got away first? Like maybe she went back to Winterfell and is that right? And then eventually the Boltons took over and she had to deal with Roose Bolton. Now poor, the other, he's not a Baratheon, is he? I guess we don't have time for every character, but so, Sansa ends up having to be married to Ramsay Bolton, who's the worst person. I'm trying to think of many worst people on the show. At least Cersei has some redeeming qualities. Ramsay's one of those characters who's just not redeeming. But so, what happens? So eventually, I don't know. I'm trying to think of Sansa's journey because she does. So she deals. She has to be married to Ramsay. She keeps thinking that the people in the north are loyal. I think she gets out with Brienne of Tarth. Would that be when she goes back to her aunt's place? That kind of makes sense. And then meets up with Baelish. Maybe that's how everything happened. I don't know exactly. And eventually she comes back with Baelish's army. At the same time, let's go into Jon Snow. So is that right? Jon Snow in charge of that? I guess, yeah. So Jon Snow's trying to deal with everything in the north. Then he meets up with Stannis Baratheon after he meets up with the northern people. And I don't even know, yeah, I'm a bit lost. Like, Stannis, I think he tried to recruit the northern people to go to King's Landing? Maybe not. But Stannis ends up, so at some point, I thought he forged a pact with Jon Snow. Maybe he didn't, though. I don't know. And, no, he did. So I'm trying to think of how Brienne of Tarth got involved, because eventually, you know, how is Brienne of Tarth in there? Because she ends up seeing Stannis. But Stannis ends up, helping try to take the North back? Does this sound correct? With Jon Snow and some of the northern people, and it doesn't work well for Stannis. Then Jon Snow's in charge, and maybe with some of the other northern people, I don't know. But eventually Jon Snow tries to take Winterfell back from the Boltons, and then what comes in and saves the day is Sansa with Baelish's army. Sansa comes in and saves the day. Now, maybe that was a message she sent out. I don't know if she was still stuck there. But I think I could see her on a horseback. But whatever, they take back the north. Jon Snow and Sansa. And that's how, a season closes, because then eventually Arya joins up with them. And then I think last season was spent with, Bran, you're right. So then Bran... Bran, at some point, they have to get out of Winterfell when they lose Winterfell. So Bran, Rickon, they sneak out, and eventually Bran realizes they've got to head north because he's a three-eyed raven. He keeps having these dreams. I don't know if this is accurate, but so eventually they head north, and Bran actually becomes a three-eyed raven. like Oh So Raven. He's a Oh So Raven, three-eyed raven. But so eventually we realize that, what do we realize? So eventually they get to Winterfell back, and then Arya comes from her adventures. Oh, the three-eyed raven. So Bran goes north, becomes a three-eyed raven, which gives him powers, and also he realizes there's trouble in the north too. And so he comes back to Winterfell, and like they're all trying to figure out how to protect. They say, well, there's this coming from the north with this supernatural stuff. Isn't that more important than our infighting? And then it's kind of last season, it's like all of the Starks like trying to come together. Again, the family, the remnants of the family, I guess, try to like come together to protect all of Westerosian humanity from this oncoming supernatural threat, and uniting people and working together, getting Khaleesi on board, trying to convince Cersei and them, and leading towards this season where it looks like, oh boy, the odds are stacked against Westerosian humanity. And that kind of catches up where Khaleesi was. Like, so Khaleesi's got Varys. There's also a Red Woman comes in and out. I'm not sure about that. There's Missandei, who's the interpreter, who's my, you know, that's the character that that makes my heart flutter. But there's also Missandra, I think, the Red Woman. And there's that's another kind of supernatural. And it's trying to tell who, where they're at is really confusing. So at this point, it looks like the Khaleesi has joined with Jon Snow to try to protect the North. Is where we kind of left off. And then back in King's Landing, Cersei has been through a lot of political Game of Thrones. So she's been playing the Game of Thrones. She says, that's the title of the show. I don't know what everybody says. It's not Game of Dragons. It's not Game of Walkers. It's not Game of Freedom. It's Game of Thrones. Me and Sannis are really the only ones that get this. So she's actually been playing the Game of Thrones the whole time. Now, I wouldn't play with her, by the way. Because then if Cersei's son becomes, Tommen becomes king. And Tommen marries whoever the people are from Highgarden, whose names I can't remember. Then in two seasons ago, maybe this religious movement crops up, charismatic, but kind of religious movement, which threat is another Game of Thrones. You say, well, it's not just in the throne. That's a throne too, which also becomes that was the season before last, I think, because that seems to threaten Cersei's power. And so towards the end of that season, Cersei pushes all her chips in on Game of Thrones. She says it's the name. Again, the game of show isn't Game of Parents. It's not Game of Mom. It's not a game of Fair. It's Game of Thrones. And that's how that season ends. She says to Tom and his new wife, the charismatic religious movement, and they play by their own rules too. She says to them, I think it backfired on her. I think she tried to use that religious movement, but she's got a lot of crafty people working for her too. But she says this is Game of Thrones, pushes all her chips in again. And as the season, last season progressed, at least initially, she was in the throne. She had her own crown. She was in charge. She was putting Jaime to work. Jaime was torn, of course. But then, she was playing Game of Thrones with the Khaleesi until the Khaleesi was pulled north. And she was working with that Reaver dude, Euron. And she has that mad scientist. She has a blue-faced man working for her. Jaime's also very... I don't know who the most tragic character is that's made it through all seven seasons. I mean, you got a lot to pick from. And I don't mean, heroism and tragedy. I mean, pure tragedy. I mean, say, Ser Jorah, Jaime Lannister... Seriously, she might be too unredeemable to be tragic, I guess. Who are the other most tragic characters? There's got to be. I mean, maybe the red woman. I don't know. I guess we don't have enough character for her. I mean, could be Tyrion. We could see something with Tyrion. I mean, a lot of the Starks have been through a lot, which like they've dealt with tragedy. But this is more like where you just like it's like Jaime's the one character that just can't get in Jorah. They can't get anything right. You say, what are you thinking? Every time you say, can we sit down for a second? I mean, with Jaime, it makes a little more sense because he's just like devastatingly handsome. Where he says, well, I just got to like, look at me, man. I make my own decisions, you know, I don't have to think about it. I say, okay. And Ser Jorah does have rugged handsomeness to him, but he has a bit of handsomeness to him too. I don't know. Could it be Khaleesi? I'm trying to think of what other, I mean, Sansa's definitely had her journey's gotten. She's had ups and downs where, yeah, I don't know, like Jaime and Ser Jorah have had moments. I don't know. I just think about him like, so we'll see. Other things they missed, other characters that had the smaller journeys, Brienne of Tarth, of course, the Hound. So the Hound was like one of the Lannisters' lackeys for a long time and got on Arya's bad list. Then eventually hooked up with Arya at some point, and they were a crew, which was a cool crew. Then he hooked up on again and off again with the Brotherhood of Banners. And then at some point he took a visit, quick visit to the big farm in the sky. Then he hooked up with the Brotherhood of Banners again. Eventually hooked up with, and he's in Jon Snow's crew. With the Brotherhood of Banners, which is like the best, I mean, right currently, even before Khaleesi got there, that's probably the best crew to be in. So there's that. And in that, I guess I'd have to rewatch those episodes. I don't even know, who's like around. I'd have to watch that last couple of two episodes again. But I'm sure I missed a lot. Of course I did. I mean, we had Tyrion's journey. Kind of Tyrion's been around, like, in a very similar way. You have Bronn, who's kind of like Jaime's. He was originally Tyrion's sidekick. Then he's become Jaime's sidekick. I'm sure maybe he'll return to being Tyrion's sidekick again. Bronn's a sellsword. Tyrion's the smarter, but more conscious, like, makes his decisions. Now, I guess there's moralist. He's the most intellectual character, I guess, probably. I mean, Varys, maybe. Khaleesi, so eventually Tyrion's gone from being a Lannister to in the Khaleesi crew. But the last episode, I say, well, what's going to happen to Tyrion next? Bronn was like shortly for a short time in Catelyn's crew, but then he joined up with Tyrion. But he's kind of like, it's the character. We have the characters in the South. We haven't really heard from, I don't know if we'll hear from them again. The Bravosi. I don't know if we'll hear from any of the Bravosi again. I mean, we get to deal with that dude, Euron. Sooner the better for him. And he's from that island. I forget about that character. Theon Greyjoy. Who's that? That name just popped in my head. Is that who I'm thinking it is? Is Theon, like, there's another tragic character. Is that who Theon is? Theon Greyjoy's. Yeah, there's Euron Greyjoy. So Theon, I think, holy cow. He's another one. But he's unlucky. No, he makes poor decisions too. So I guess like for me, the tragic characters are the ones that make the worst decisions. I mean, because the characters are trying to make the best decisions they can. They're just always terrible. So you have a triad of Jaime, Theon, and who's the other person? I already forgot. Ser Jorah. Theon is like, he was just it's complicated, but he was kind of like a living with the Starks as like a guest, and like as a bargaining guest, but kind of part of the family, but never totally part of the family. He definitely had an inferiority thing. He wasn't as handsome as the Stark boys. I mean, just a fact, or quite as skilled. So he's always trying too hard. And then he had those issues where he wanted to go home, but he wasn't welcome at home and never good enough. So he's gone on quite a journey too. I mean, just a brilliant show overall. I mean, I guess like trying to put 6 seasons or whatever and remember them all in 50 minutes isn't easy. But yeah, that's a little bit of the tale of the tape of what I remember of the first 6 or 5, 6 or 7 seasons of Game of Thrones. Just to get you caught up for this season that's about to start soon. Good night. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show recently. Madeline from the USA, Bricks and Puppies and People. Been using Sleep With Me on and off for 2 years, and I'm often asleep before the story begins. I got a 6 to 8 week old puppy. Yeah, who would, you know, also needed help getting the pup get to sleep. After turning on puppy and the podcast, turning on the puppy, the podcast turns off the puppy, relaxes and drifts off to sleep. Now, I'm convinced Scoots is a big help. Laura, L-O-R-A, it did not like the podcast, or that there was 4 minutes of ads from the UK. Neither did. SH from the US didn't like the creaky dulcet tones. Pop guy, P-double-O-P guy, says, holy shirt balls, this guy's tailing it. Both interesting, boring at the same time. Short guided meditation, meaningless, meandering stories, delivered in a manner that oddly entertains me while putting me to sleep. Riley from Australia, like nothing else. I was skeptical. But nothing knocks you out like Scoots. B-Screen says, Scoots amazing, puts me right to sleep. If I didn't rate him 5 stars, and then they fell asleep. Love Festivals from Australia, incredible. Podcast is so amazing. Usually set a timer for the podcast. No idea when I fall asleep. Give it a go. A big thank you to Sleep With Me for helping me fall asleep each night. Rudy TN, first podcast and lifesaver. I'm so impressed with all the management of the podcast. More than anything, I could easily identify and relax and recommend this podcast above all others. Marita says, so relaxing. I'm starting to use your words, Scoots. Meander dulcet, I don't remember anymore because I fell asleep. Akwai says, dream come true, working the late shift has not helped my sleep. I've tried over-the-counter and RX, but I don't want to deal with it. Tried meditation, wine, but this podcast has helped. I'm so thankful I became a patron to make sure I could keep it going. Thanks. Ooj says, thanks for the rest. Wish I could comment on the quality of the show, but... thanks for the million. Thanks a million for the 7 precious, elusive hours of sleep. How does episode even end? That comes from Sleepy Nancy. Never made it that far. N.W. Cajun, so Cajun from the Northwest, says, humorous way to be bored to sleep. Don't know how he does it. Like an old uncle who used to tell stories, but you're too polite to stop him. J.J. Borgie, love. Helped me fall asleep every night since the first listen. Love the all intros. Kira with a Y, human, says, I love the podcast so much. 9-year-old giving it in. Kira says, if anyone says anything bad, they're not telling the truth. Well, no, I mean, people have different opinions. Creaky dulcets land on ears different ways. Suzu02 says, nights are made for Dear Scooter. There to keep me company, keeping the thoughts at bay. Son of Maryland, that's pretty cool. Slept so peacefully, lulled my mind to sleep, listened on and off. Subscribe today. Help you slow down so eventually you rest. Elizabeth with an S says, amazing. Been listening. Can't say enough how great it is. We're dealing with the flu, and the podcast helped too. Cole Lahara says, works every time. First time I listened was at a friend's when they were about to get interviewed on live TV. Oh boy, I know how that goes. But the podcast worked. and I'm going to become a supporter. Please don't stop. Ellie, too hard to handle. That's kind of like the song. Amazing. I'm only another 10. Oh, this is another one of her friends. Only 10. Helps me so much. Ellery, a good buddy. Bye-bye, Somnia. That comes from VL. Lauren does not like the songs. But yeah, that's... It's just hard for me. If anybody like wants to listen all night long and you listen back to back episodes, to keep it free without the ads is just not possible. And the songs are a part of that. Snapperoo loves the podcast. And that's it. Cool Gamer. I remember thanking Cool Gamer last time. Thank you everybody so much. For reviewing a show, Sleep With Me is listener supported. It exists because listeners that support the show directly on Patreon or through our sponsors. So thank you, everybody. Does that Sleep With Me grows by people who spread the word naturally with their experience with the podcast. Thank you so much for that. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You know what show you could really listen to all three seasons right in a row to is the amazing Alice Isn't in the Big Farm in the Sky. One of the great, podcast history is written, it'll be one of the great audio dramas or a piece of audio fiction, I guess is how I prefer. Also available in your bookstores. Alice Isn't in the Big Farm in the Sky, but it's a shortened acronym for that. It's a D period, E period, A period, and then one other letter, the same as the first letter. So check that out. You can check that out at Alice. Just go to KnifeValePresents.com to find out more. And we're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need it. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then We had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.